Praise the Lord, everybody. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It is even better to be in His presence where there is fullness of joy. It's the sweet presence of the Lord this morning in our Sunday school class. A bit of a challenge to us to take seriously, but we are so glad for His presence. I am excited this morning. I've been looking to this for a while. We have a special treat. Brother and Sister Brown have been friends of my family for many years, and there's something about the two of them that there is no artifice, there is no facade. When you look at them, you see the love of Christ shining through, and I am so privileged to call them friends and to have them come and minister to us. Sister Brown, would you like to greet the congregation? Amen. And so at this point, let's all say God bless Brother Brown as he comes and delivers the word to us.
God, let's give him glory. Let's give him praise. Oh, what a great God you are. Oh, we worship you, Lord. God, we honor you. God, we adore you. What a wonderful Savior you are. Angels bow before you. God, heaven and earth adore you. Oh, we love you today. We love you always. Oh, we love you always. Oh, we love you always, Jesus. We love you always. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful Savior He is. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes you get a little bit nervous. And that's normal for me. Because when I look at the things that God has done in my personal life and what He continues to do today, I stand here as a nobody. I can only attest to God's greatness. I'm not here wanting to be seen. I'm only going to talk to you today for a while. And hopefully, which I know it will because it's the Word of God, it will touch someone's life. Now we all can make heaven our eternal home. If it's okay with Brother John, I say a few things here. I give honor to Brother John. He's given me permission to call him Brother John because we're friends, and I love the Readout family, and I'm Brother Brown. I told the people last year in Hartford, where my wife and I pastor, you see, I didn't get into the church to be a minister. I didn't get in the church to be an ordained pastor. I just got in the church because I wanted to make heaven my eternal home and to see how many people I could help to make heaven their home. When I got in the church, my wife was always invited me to church, but I wasn't big in church. I grew up and lived a rough life as a young man leaving school in Jamaica. And as I went along, I joined the police force in Jamaica, where I spent 15 years prior to coming here at age 34. Today I'm much older. Thank God. I lived a rugged life as a cop. And for a while now, the Lord has had me doing this, several places that I go to minister. Because it's to give God glory. Not very many cops, and I don't feel very well saying some of these things, collected the amount of bribes that I collected on the street. Lived the type of life that I thought was a great life until God saved me. The only thing I never did was I never killed anyone. But I've witnessed a lot of atrocities. I've treated people very badly. I was very feisty. I was very rude. I came to America with the same attitude. I treated my wife like a piece of trash. And so when I came to America, I came with that same Jamaican attitude. Figured I was going to go back to school. I never did. My wife encouraged me. I never listened to her. My wife was in the church long before me, along with my two boys. And I'm going to fast forward this. One day I was home. It was a Sunday. My wife was going to church. And as I said, I was a heavy drinker, gambler, smoker. I would gamble my mortgage payment, my rent payment. I would come home and tell my wife lies. But this Sunday I was at home. I was a guy who only go to church on Good Fridays or Christmas Day if my children asked me to, of which little Errol Jr. would. And I would go just to appease the situation. Not that I wanted to go to church. But this particular Sunday, my wife was going to work and my boys were picked up for church, and all I could hear going on, I'm not going to hear, stand here and say I heard the audible voice of God. But all was in my mind is, you need to go to church. And it would leave me. And then I decided I was going to go to church. I got dressed and I went to church. I sat in church and I was very calm. I was almost at the back of the church. But I was listening very attentively to the pastor preach. And I was sort of on the edge of the bench, waiting to hear for the altar call. Because I felt that it was time for me to give my life to the Lord. So it was actually the Lord that instructed me to go to church. I found that out later on. I went to church and I gave my life to the Lord, and I could barely hold back tears that day. I was completely broken. And today, if you see me cry, I'm still broken. A few weeks later, I got baptized in this great name of Jesus. The greatest name. The name that's above all names. The God that is divine. The God that transcends time. God filled me with His Spirit. And God continues to work in my life even now. Today I want to talk to this church just for a little while about the power and effects of God's word. The power and the effects of God's word. If we will listen to what God has to say, if we will obey his word, if we will live his word, abiding by his statutes and his precepts, if we will apply his words to our lives and to our situations, if we will forget what we think, what our parents think, I'm not here to tell children or anybody not to listen to mom and dad, because I'm not going against the word of God. But what I'm saying is, nothing supersedes the word of Almighty God. The written word, the spoken word. That's where the power is. The word of God changes lives if we will let him. The onus is on us. It's on you and I. Today I'm going to be looking at Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to look at verse 1 to 5. Okay. Yeah. To stand for the reading of the word of God. Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called it light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'd like to look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. One verse of scripture. Now we'll get it here together. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The word of God. So that was when this great God was tempted. And in his reply to the enemy of our souls, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Every word. Our duty is to stand on the word of God. We are not to rely on our own intuition. The Bible tells us that the thoughts of man is vain, is vanity. What you and I are thinking has no bearing on the word of God. Our friends, our relatives, or the philosophers and the doctors and the lawyers, or the janitors, it didn't matter who it is. I'm just making a point here relative to the word of God. God's words needs no adaptation. It cannot be substituted. Praise God. What God tells us to do, that's what we are to do. That's how we must lead our lives. That's how we must lead our lives. It's about 19 years now. And my former pastor, which I love, and will always love, I love people. I didn't make mention of Bishop Readout. I love him and his family. I don't know, I never wanted me to forget that, but I wouldn't forget that. He's my man. Bishop Readout and his wife are some of the finest Christian people that I've met in my 26, coming on 27 years in the church. Phenomenal people. People that love God and exhibit true godly leadership. He's my friend. They are my friends. Sister Readout, special. She and I was ordained the same service. Very special people. Brother John, I can't call him Pastor John no more. He asked me not to. He's my friend, his wife. We're friends. Bishop McDonald, his wife. And what these people have done for my wife and I. It's immeasurable. You can't put a price in it. When I came into the church, I was looking for leadership. I was well aware of what the protocol was. In the force, there's a protocol. And I wanted to be around leaders. I had a pastor that loved me. And I fell in love with my pastor. Still do love him. Love his family. Yes, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Somebody's going to get something out of this, hopefully getting something ready. I'm going to church as a street boy, new in the church. I wasn't aspiring to be anything in the church. As I alluded to earlier, just wanted to make heaven. And I was going to do whatever it took. Wasn't asked to do anything in the church other than to clean and to sweep and to wash floors and to pick up yard, shovel snow, whatever it is, and I took pleasure in doing it. His wife would call me sometime, Pastor, need you at the church. I have other things planned. I left what I was doing, and I'm in church. I tell people all the time, I say, when you get to church, and the first thing you should want to do is to get around cutting some grass and cleaning some toilets and shampooing some carpets and vacuuming some carpets and all that type of stuff. One Sunday evening, Brother Mike Easter was a new evangelist, young evangelist coming in. This was long, maybe about 20 years ago. I'm going down to the prayer meeting, the prayer room. And my pastor came out of his office, turned around and looked at me and says, Brother Brown, I said, yes, Pastor. He says, I want you to get a scripture and open the evening service. My whole body started going like this. Brother John, I'm telling you, I never felt anything like that. I went into the prayer meeting, all I'm going is like this. I said, how's all this going to happen? I said to him, though, and listen close, I said to him, I said, Pastor, I'm not going to be able to do that. He said to me, Brother, you need to be up there. and he walked away. I felt a bit dejected. He just left me and walked away. So I said, it's on me now. I found a scripture. It was in Revelation chapter 20. When I went up to read it, I couldn't read the scripture. I was just going like this. And I'm saying to myself, I wonder what Brother Easter is saying. I never met him before. He was over here. But I got through it. And to fast forward everything, I put it, I believe it's roughly 20 years later, I've never been out of the pulpit. And I've never been sat down by my pastor. And I've never been sat down by my bishop. Hopefully somebody's learning something today. The people that are within earshot of these words today. The Bible says that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift us up in due season. Only God knows what due season is. We do not know what due season is. The lives that my wife and I have touched through God over the years. So many people have gotten the Holy Ghost. We walk the streets in Hartford. We look at the people living all different type of lifestyles, the drug addicts. You name them. The homeless. People drooling. People half naked sometimes. We rub shoulder with them. Sometimes I hug them. Not all this while they smell as good as I do smell. But it's okay. I got going in the church, I don't wear cologne no more. I just wear deodorant. So I smell good enough with my deodorant. But I love folks. You see, God will cause you to grow, amen, to love his people. If there's nothing more today that you guys remember, is that each and every one of us, God does love you. Can we say that? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Shatai Larabahaya. Jesus loves me. He loves us. God wants the best for us. Says that he'll never leave us. And he'll never forsake us. Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Bible said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee, amen, the desires of thine heart. I have scripture that I gave Brother John, but I'm just following the lead right now. Trust God. It is his word that allows things to happen in your life. Find a prayer room. Pray for people. Love people. Treat people well. Don't look at people because of what they look like. Amen. A lot of people out here don't even know that I'm from a Scottish background. And he said, no, you know, yeah. You see, my mom, dad was Scottish. Abbott. A-B-B-O-T-T. My mom, my wife's grandfather was Scottish. And I didn't even know that until we married years after. We're all aware that the islands are all British colonies. So I don't dwell with racism. That's not my thing. My thing is to love people. And that's what I see in the readouts. Huh? That's what I see in so many of us right here who are my friends. Praise God. I walk in here this morning, and so many people that I hug, they walk up to me, I'm walking up to them, and we're hugging necks. I love you. Christ died for us. My friend over there? Yeah, all over. They're here, all over. He told me this morning, I never seen you for a while. You see, that's what it's all about. We saw the sister over there, Sister Tryon's sister and her daughter. We've known them for long years. We love them. The Bible says love covers all sins. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Come on, church. Isn't God great? Let's give him a hand clap of praise. This God is an awesome God. Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. Bible says one generation shall praise thy works to another and declare thy mighty acts. The Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. Bible says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely to the upright. Huh? Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world, amen, stand in awe of him. God's Spirit is here right now. He's walking up and down these aisles. We fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Bible says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me out of all my fears. Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. Come on, church. We've got this. We've got this. Heaven is our home. We're homeward bound. We are overcomers. We're winners. We don't have to fear the devil. We're victorious. We're victors. The Bible said that we're more than conquerors. I asked the people at church one day, I said, do you know that you're royal? They're looking around because, you see, I have different people around there. And most of them, like myself, weren't grown in the church. I don't speak Swahili, yet the Lord sent me 18 Swahilis. How did this all happen? I've never been to Tanzania. The Lord told my wife, she told me this, you wouldn't go to Africa when I said Africa to you. Isn't that awesome? Because God knows our hearts. They were refugees. God knows our heart that we're going to love them and we're going to treat them well. Amen. And we're going to care for them. And we're going to care for them. That's what church is all about. That's what church is all about. Church is not about Errol and Rima Brown. Church is about this great God that demonstrated his love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Bible says, greater love had no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. He says that we are his friends if we do whatsoever he commands us. It doesn't take a whole lot to live for God. But you and I, we've got to learn to deny ourselves. We've got to learn to deny ourselves and follow God. Just follow him. Songwriter says, where he leads me, I will follow. Says, I'll go with him. I'll go with him. Not part of the way. All. Can we say all? All the way. We're homeward bound people. We need to lead our lives. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our lives must glorify God. The places we go, the people we're company with, what we look like. The things we say and do. We got to reevaluate ourselves daily. God is our judge. He has his eyes on each and every one of us. He's just sifting through. Huh? The word is a sift. Just sifting through us. But we can make it. Of course, amen. We can make it. The devil wants us to think that it's over. It's not over yet. This is the brightest and the best days of the church. Our greatest day is today and ahead of us. The greatest days of the church are ahead. The greatest revival is taking place right now. Love people. Treat people well. Walk uprightly. Be an influence to others. When you meet people, you talk to people about who? Jesus. About the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them a little bit about what he has done for you. I take pleasure in doing that. I had a cleaning business which I sold in the side. I told my wife, she wanted me to leave it a long time. One of my sons said to me, Dad, I thought you was going to retire before. I retired this past December. I did enough. 53 years of work is a long time. And I'm all right. God has blessed my wife and I tremendously. We don't have a lot of anything, but we're not in need of anything. We trust God. And I used to clean at a certain school. And they believe in the false God. I get into that place. For years I've been in there. I got all these fights and all these, what do you call it now? Oh, I'm not going to get deep into that. But you know when the enemy's at you, I leave it at that. He couldn't stop me in there. I witnessed the people day and night. They want to do therapy on my body. I tell them no. I'm fine. I witnessed the people. I gave out cards. I invite to church. Nobody hasn't come yet. No, one lady came twice. But we have not seen the result yet, but it's not over yet. The seed has been sown. The word has been sown. One day I was there, one night. The director of the school called me, Errol. And I said, yes. He said, come on here. She said, I would like for you to pray for my daughter. I said, yeah. She said, come on in. Into her office. I walk in there. I had my bottle of oil. I anointed herself, her daughter, myself, and a young man that works with me. And we prayed inside there like we were in church. Herself and I, when I was leaving there in December, I'm not talking about people that look like me now. I'm talking about, you know. But we have been called such great friends. When I was leaving, my wife was there today. When I went to say bye, all was left for her to do is to cry. You could see she was sobbing, tears running down her eyes. Hugged me and like she wouldn't want to let me go. And saying how much she's going to miss us and how much she loves us. God is looking for people who will go out there and tell others about his greatness. If we don't do it, who will? This is the hour, church. This is the time, and we are the ones. We have the gospel of salvation. Let's go out and tell people about Jesus. He's worthy of it. Amen. There are a lot of people out there that are still wondering. Up to yesterday, I believe I heard it. Somebody was telling somebody, I believe it was my wife telling me that somebody said this, and I've heard it several times. You've heard it too. Oh, they're Jesus everything. They're Jesus only. We're not Jesus only. We're everything. We're Jesus everything. Come on, church. We're Jesus everything. It's not no Jesus only. He's our all. He's our everything. Huh? He's God incarnate. Yeah. Hey, let's look at John 1:1-5. Let's look at this. I get excited about this thing. Look at about this thing. This is awesome. Amen. I'm loving this right now. This is awesome. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You see the correlation between this and verse 1 of Genesis? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, the same life that you and I have. How many of us in the same life? The same life. Nobody else can give you life. Oh, yes. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We know how that went. But that is still happening today. The Jews then, they thought he was going to come in chariots. But he humbled himself. He went in a colt's back, a donkey's back. Went to launch the other day in Texas. My wife and I, all expense paid trip. So all I had to do was just go. Because we're obedient to God. And God qualified us. The church went autonomous. And recognized by the United Pentecostal Church. So it's like God said, go out now, my little children. Have some fun. We're sending it down into Texas for 3 days. While we're there, one of the messages that preached, it talked about how it's in Matthew where God sent, he said, get the donkey, the master has need of it. So the title of that message was, if I remember correctly, we are donkeys, or be a donkey for God. You see, that's what I want to be. That's what I am. That's what you guys are. Bring the word. That was why he was in need of the donkey, to take him where the word needed to be. It's not to walk around with this, look at me and look at that, who I am and where I am. Huh? You don't have anybody love college graduates like me, and yet I'm not formally trained. But I love them. Huh? Because they did something that I never got the opportunity to do, and even if I got it, I blew it. But God going in the church, and my opportunity came, and I had a wife who encouraged me, and I had a pastor and bishop who encouraged me. Huh? And I went back to school for 6 years and stand here today to give God glory. Huh? Being mindful of the fact that we are a chosen generation. We're a peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood. We're not ordinary people. God has called each and every one of us for a greater cause, which is his cause. We can do it. We can go a little bit further. We can stretch. We don't have to settle for what the devil tells us. We have power over the enemy. The blood of Jesus Christ conquered all of that, hell, death, and the grave. You're now a liberated people. We're free. We give God glory. We give him praise. We worship him. We give him honor. He's high and lifted up. He's infinite and we're finite. We're but dust. He's the God that created the heaven, the earth, and all that is therein. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen. I'm going to be closing here shortly. Didn't use all those wonderful scriptures and all that. There's nothing better that neither one of us could do for our lives than to be in the true church with God's people. This thing is exciting. This is exciting. knowing that if you were to die now, you're heaven bound. Songwriter says, what a wonder he is. What a wonder. He's invincible. We can't comprehend God. He transcends time. He always existed. We must read the Word. We must study the Word. We must apply the Word. People get frustrated in the church. Why? Because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Is that all right, Pastor? I've seen it. People get frustrated and they're calling on the pastor and they're calling on the pastor's wife and the other brothers and sisters in the church that are all fired up. They're not hanging out with those people. They're not hanging out with us. They're hanging out with their street friends. And they expect everything to be fine. They use everything to compromise why they sin. Telling you stuff like, oh, it doesn't take all that much. Well, let me tell you something. It takes everything to serve Jesus. Huh? He gave all, and we don't give anything? Come on. He gave all. We've got to put everything into it. Huh? You think we're going to waltz into heaven? You're not going to waltz into heaven. Bible says that we're to take up our cross and follow him. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. When you're grounded in the church, you get excited about it. When you're grounded. I couldn't stand here today and tell you things that I've been through because it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair to the pastor of the church. It wouldn't be fair to some of you all. This is May, just before COVID, a year before COVID, God deflected 6 shots off of me at close range in my yard. 6 shots. I went into the house. I couldn't believe it. My wife said to me, you heard all them gunshots. I'm still trying to put it together. When you love God and you do what God tells you to do, there's no telling what God will do for you. I had preached in Hartford a few times and I made mention that I'm willing to take a bullet for Jesus. And he let me experience that and save my life. Come on, church. That's the God that we're talking about here today. He let me experience that. Huh? And saved my life. And 2 nights after that, 2 separate visions, dreams. He showed me the culprit firing the gun at me, saying, you must die, you must die, you must die, 3 times. The culprit is looking at me just like you're looking at me, sir. Firing the gun. He knows me, I know him. Up to today. Saw him after that almost every day, right? My neighbor, right next door, out of my house into his house. I can't hide. Every time he sees me now, he knows that he's not there right now for the past maybe 3 years. He lived down the road from me. Now we get to that real quickly, and I'm going to finish. He sees me a few weeks after that. You see, God does some things that amazes you. So I used to collect bread and give it out all over, not just for church, but anybody wanted bread. So I would drive my van and go to Middletown and pick up bread at the depot, come back, and it was a lot of work, but we did it for, 18 years or something like that? So I drove up in the yard, laden with bread, and this little boy, maybe about 4 or 5, run up. Can I have some? I said, sure. The father was right there with him, the culprit. He says, go.
He says, go. They tell the little boy, go get some. I said, yeah, let him come. He came, took bread and rolls and stuff like that and went. I see that brother, and I call him a brother because I'm asking God to save him, even now, in Jesus' name. I saw that brother, to fast forward everything. I saw him. It's about a year now, the last time I saw him personally down the road from me. And when he saw me passing, because I have a time I walk, I'll go out and walk a lot, maybe 3-4 miles. I look. He was coming out there from his driveway, come right out to meet me on the side of the road, shook my hand, and take me in to him and hug me. When all of this was happening, before that, before he coming to meet me, the Lord brought me to my attention to a scripture. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's the God that we serve. Never regret what you're doing for Jesus. Take pleasure in doing it. The Lord is with us, and he'll never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. Whatever your problems are, and I want to close with, I'll show you a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 37. And Ezekiel, most of us know the scripture, and the dry bones, the Bible says that they were very dry. And the prophet prophesied. See, I said, the Lord asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel was a pretty smart man. He says, thou knowest. Isn't that neat? Thou knowest. Well, Ezekiel is saying, you're God. You know all things. That's what he's saying. Can these bones live? You're faced with a situation on a mountain right now in your life. If you would stand with me, I'll pass it down. You can prepare to come. Are you wondering what is going to happen next? Give it to the Lord. God will take down that mountain for you. He'll take it down. Amen. He'll breathe new breath into you. He'll put the bones back to bones and the sinews to sinews. Whatever it is that you're looking for, give it to the Lord Jesus. He's going to take care of it. You can't do it for yourself. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us give it to God today. Let us trust God today. Amen. Amen. Feel free to come up to the altar. It's in your pastor's hands. Amen. Amen. God wants to minister to us here today in a very special and mighty way. In Jesus' name.